We're Love live. Talk
you gotta be ready.
To put the stars in place, it took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul,
yes,
cleansed and
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and I'm so blessed to welcome you to Worshipful Wednesday here on Daughters of Naomi for this Wednesday, June 14th, 2023. But before we begin, let's open with a word of prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we come now before your throne of grace just thanking you for the opportunity to come together to worship you in spirit and in truth. We come, Lord, just praising you for being our Father and for being our God. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are still a miracle worker. So, Lord, we just come now just asking in the name of Jesus that you would bless us as we pour into your people and that you would bless your people to receive. And, Lord God, if there is someone that doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, we pray that tonight would be the night that they come to you and make you their Lord and Savior. It is in Jesus' name we do pray it all. Amen and amen. Well, saints of God, we have a very special program for you tonight. Our program tonight is entitled, I Know About Miracles. And on tonight, I have a very special guest in the Spirit Alive family. We are coming together to testify that God is still in the miracle working business. Now, I know. A lot of you are probably asking, with everything that you see on television and in the world going on in the world today, does God still perform miracles? Yes. Or are miracles something that's just limited to biblical times? No. But before we get into that, let's talk about what a real miracle is. There is a couple of preliminary questions that need to be addressed before tackling the question of miracles in our time. And the first of these involves the definition of a miracle. So what is a miracle? We hear that term used freely today. It was a miracle that I found a parking place near the store. And then we have the miracle on ice that described the U.S. hockey team's unexpected defeat of the Soviets for the gold medal in the Olympics. Or you hear people say, it was a miracle that he survived that car crash. But are these really miracles or just highly unusual and unexpected events or outcomes? The biblical use of miracle is an action of God that produces a result apart from natural means. It is an action that points to God as its cause. Crossing the sea on dry land, healing the sick, casting out evil spirits, feeding a multitude with 5 small loaves of bread and a couple of fish, or walking on water are just a few examples of biblical miracles. These are clearly caused by God. These are not just unusual occurrences. Now, it's quite possible that God did arrange that parking spot for you to open up for you in front of the store. Or maybe he did favor that hockey team. Or any of those other things that we can label as miracles. But how do we know? Well, for the purposes of this teaching, I'm going to break up miracles into 2 distinct categories. The first is for those miracles that are similar to what we label as miracles in the Bible. These are events that were caused by God, and it placed all the focus on him. And anybody would be challenged to deny that it was the work of God. And this is going to be the subject of the rest of the teaching and our testimonies. But I also believe there is a second category of miracles. Now, these are unseen or not so obvious. These might include God's intervention to prevent an accident. A miracle, it's a miracle because it's something God did. But a lot of times, we might not have any idea that it occurred. And I believe that when God answers prayer, that a miracle has occurred. God has stepped into our world to act in response to our prayers. whether, like I said, whether it's to heal the sick, to protect us from harm, or to equip us for service in his kingdom. All of these things are miracles. They are God's intervention in the normal working of a natural world. And these miracles are indeed happening in the world today. Now, you might ask yourself the second preliminary question is, well, what is the purpose of miracles? Why did God perform miracles in the Bible? And what purpose did they serve? Well, it might be tempting to think that there are miracles recorded throughout the Bible, but to be honest, that's not the case. Miracles are mostly clustered around three distinct time periods. The first period is during the Exodus and into the conquest of Canaan under Moses and Joshua. The second period is during the ministries of Elijah and Elijah. And the final period is during the ministry of Jesus and his apostles. Now, while this covers the entire New Testament period, it still leaves a large gap in the Old Testament history, and gaps where there were few, if any, miracles are recorded. In each of these times, what God was doing was demonstrating his presence in a powerful way, especially during the time of Moses and Jesus. With Moses, God worked to free the Jewish slaves and to transform them into a nation. And with Jesus, the miracles were intended to prove that Jesus was the Son of God and he was sent to establish his church. Now, in both cases, God is showing that the work being done is not being done by men, but it is solely being done by God. The miracles during the ministry of Elijah and Elijah are not, it was not done by the establishment of people, but of God. But they do happen in the context of a call of God's people back to worship him, the one true God. So that brings us to the question, does God perform miracles today? Well, I know of absolutely no scriptural reason why God wouldn't, couldn't, and doesn't perform miracles today. You see, he said in his holy word that he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he is still our sovereign God. But in our modern world, no matter how crazy it gets, cannot minimize ability to act in miraculous ways. But God most often works through his people, and he has commissioned his church to take the gospel to the world, making disciples of all men. That is recorded. The Great Commission is recorded in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And the Bible records for us the miracles that God used to establish his church. And we can look back at those to validate the divine origin of the church and God's calling. So we don't need miracles today to do that. Now, the Gospel of John records a number of post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. Among these was a visit to Thomas, and it is recorded in John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. Now, at the end of that appearance, Thomas believed that Jesus was indeed the risen Savior. Now, this passage then closes with what I believe is Jesus' answer to the questions of miracles today. He says, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus said that we who believe without physical proof of the resurrection are blessed. And by extension, I would think that that is applicable to miracles as well. Those who believe by faith alone, apart from the miraculous, are blessed. Of course, all who believe are blessed, but those who believe in miracles, hallelujah, apart from their external experiences, are even more blessed. So you might be thinking to yourself, well, how can I tell if it's a miracle or not? Well, I'm so glad you asked, because I have the answer. Scripture references two sources of miracles. Of course, the primary source is and always will be God. But in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 9 and several places in Revelation, we can find another source. Old flathead Satan, the Antichrist. He will also use signs and wonders to deceive people and lead them away from the truth. And that poses a challenge for the believer. You might ask yourself, if I were to see a miraculous sign, how would I know who had produced it? Well, I tell you what, here's the easiest thing to do when to declare whether or not something is miraculous. Who does it glorify? Does it glorify the person doing it, or does it glorify God? Because the people that we have in the house tonight, their miracles always glorify God. And the first person, that voice that you will hear from tonight, is someone whom I love dearly. I know her. I've known her from birth. She is my cousin. Her name is Sister Tamara Criddle. And right now I'm going to ask her to come forth and share her miracle in her very own way. Sister Tamara, welcome to the program, and you have our undivided attention, beloved.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, everybody. Well, like Shalene said, I'm Tamara Criddle, and I'm 43 years old. I'm a single mom of 5 kids. And okay, so let's go to this point. So I get my mammograms. Okay, so let me say this real quick. I'm sorry. I'm trying to
mess up.
Amen. Okay, so for one, I was diagnosed with nodular lymphocyte predominant Hodgkin's lymphoma, stage 2A. That's a cancer of the lymph nodes. Okay, so I'm going to leave that right there. So every year since I've been 40, I've been getting my mammograms. This in particular year, I canceled the mammogram because it was snowing out here, and they told me they can get me in Saturday. So I went in on the Saturday. I got my mammogram, didn't think nothing of it. They called me that Monday to let me know that my mammogram was abnormal. Okay, so because I'm a self-diagnosed hypochondriac, I automatically went, and I'm flesh too. I automatically went to negative, like, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen? What's wrong? You know, like that. So it brought my whole day down. So I ended up leaving work. I went home and cried and cried and cried and cried, and I don't know why, but I cried and cried and cried. This is even before they told me anything. She called me and said, Ms. Criddle, we can get you in tomorrow. I said, okay, and I hung up the phone. I stayed in the house, and I was walking back and forth through my house, like, contemplating on what's going to be said. I'm praying. I'm like calling people. I got an irregular mammogram, you know, all this and all that. And then I called her back and I said, no, can you get me into that? And she said, yes, sure. Come in now. So I go in and get this mammogram. Okay. So as I'm riding to the hospital, St. Francis Hospital, I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying that it's nothing. And even if it's something, it's nothing. Right. So I get there scared. They did the ultrasound. This is on the 6th of February. They do the ultrasound. The doctor comes in and he says, oh, so it's bilateral. So meaning it's on whatever it's showing on both sides. So he says, your breasts look clear, but your lymph nodes, your lower axilla lymph nodes, that's right under the underpit, but like lower down, that they both are like extremely enlarged. And so I'm like, okay, what does that mean? He said, I don't know, but they're on both sides. He said, unless you have an infection or something going on, he said, we just don't know. We got to do tests. And I said, okay. So he said, so this is on Monday. So then he tells me, we have to hook you up with a surgeon. He said, do you have insurance? I do. I said, okay. So he said, okay. He said, so we have to hook you up with a surgeon. And the surgeon got to then put orders in for you to get a CT of your chest to see if I have, like, the flu, tuberculosis. He had to order tests for AIDS, just, like, some autoimmune diseases that they can detect through blood. It's just like a lot of diseases. You just kind of rule out everything. So I'm like, okay. So then he tells me this. So now we on, this is Tuesday now. Now I'm on Tuesday. So they call me and say, we're going to give you the number to the surgeon. If he don't call you by Thursday, you call us Monday. I'm like, don't call you by, if he don't call me by Thursday, now it's Tuesday. He don't call me by Thursday, I'm going to call you and let you know Monday. No, no, no. I know who the surgeon is. I'm going to go right to his office in here in Cape Girardeau because, see, I got an advocate for myself. I got kids. I got to know what's going on with myself, right? So, and I'm steady praying. Now, let me tell you this. As I'm praying to God about this, mind you, I'm still scared because I'm still flesh, you know. I'm scared, and I'm worried. But he, when I tell you guys, like, God, and it makes me get emotional thinking about it, that he has held my hand. Well, I'm not even going to say held my hand. He has picked me up and walked me. He picked me up through this whole process. I think the worst part of this whole process is just the initial diagnosis. Everything after that, and I promise you guys, God has took me through it. And when he took me through it with ease, yeah, he took me through it with ease. And I remember I was asking myself, like, why? Why are you showing me so much favor and showing me so much mercy? Because he held me through it. And I cry when I think about it. So, okay, let me go back. So I go down to the doctor's office, and they're like, Miss Criddle, we haven't got an order in for you. I said, well, hold on. I'm going to call St. Francis while I'm standing right here in your office, and I'm going to get the order for you. So they was like, Miss Criddle. So I called St. Francis. They said, Miss Criddle, we told you don't call us. I'm calling you now, so let's get this moving. So I had an appointment, and now the doctor got me an appointment Thursday. And I was like, okay. So we get in there Thursday, and he do a CT. Now, mind you, I'm very claustrophobic. I'm very, very claustrophobic. He said, you know, you got to get in the machine to do a CT. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that, but you just get in. They had to do one with contrast. They couldn't find my veins. There was a whole, like, event with this 2 minute and 47 second CT scan. So finally they get the vein. They had me hold my hands up above my head. We go on this machine. I feel like I'm about to pass out because I'm scared. They're looking at my body, whatever they're doing, you know, seeing what they see. They pull me out, said I did a good job. I'm like, okay, I leave. That's Thursday. So the doctor calls me Friday, and he tells me, okay, so we see it. We see, you know, we see this. We don't know what this is, but we see it. He said, can you come in? I said, yeah, I come in Monday. I go in Monday. So mind you, they telling me that I have my lymph node is swollen up to like 5-point-something centimeters. Like, it's really big. And on both sides. Okay, so I'm not like a really, I'm not skinny, but I'm not, you know, I'm average. So when the doctor feels my underarm, he's pushing in deep. And he was like, I don't know. It can be cancer. This is what he said. It can be cancer. So I have my daughter in the room with me. The doctor's off. I said, hold on. Let's let her go out. And she goes out. And he said, it can be cancer. I don't know what this is. It may be cancer, but I don't feel it. I don't understand why I'm not feeling it. It's measuring so big. I don't understand why I don't feel it. And he's like, you don't feel anything? She's like, what were your symptoms? I said, I didn't have no symptoms. Okay. I went and got a mammogram, my annual mammogram. And they seen them. I said, so I don't, he's like, you don't feel nothing. And they are measuring so big. It's about, I don't want to lie, but I think it was like about at least 4 maybe, but I don't want to like exaggerate because I don't want to put that on myself. But I know it was at least 2, 1 on each side big and maybe 2 little ones. Well, I know it was 2 little ones too. So he's like, you can't feel it. And I was like, no, he said, okay, I'm not ruling out cancer. And he kept saying cancer. And I'm like, wow, you said he's saying cancer. It could be so many other things, but you said he's saying cancer. And so he was like, yeah, I don't know. I don't feel them, though. They're really big. So they might be mushy, maybe. They might not be. He said, we ruled out HIV, tuberculosis. So then they go with this thing thinking that it has something to do with me getting the vaccine from COVID. 2 years ago, I said, I did just recently have COVID about 60 days prior to this diagnosis, you know, this situation. And they were telling me somewhere in Japan, they were doing studies to where the people that have the vaccine, lymph nodes swollen up like under in a lower axilla. And so I was like, okay, I'm thinking, okay, let that be that. Okay, it wasn't that. So So he's like, I don't know. He's like, so you got to go back to the doctor. So now they want me to get a biopsy. So mind you, it was the 6th on that Monday. I got the seat, the ultrasound. I had the CT. I met with Dr. McAdams within this week. Okay, so now they want me next week now to get a needle biopsy. Again, guys, I am scared, okay? To where I lost within a 3-week time, I lost 17 pounds. Okay, I'm just that scared. Yes, I'm. So they say, so February 14th, they tell me that I have to go in, you know, to have this needle biopsy. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So, I'm praying. And God said, he's telling me, I'm not telling y'all, he's telling me clear. You'll be okay. I'll be okay. And I believed it. I believed it wholeheartedly. I believed it. But I'm still human. So, you know, you still worry. But I knew I would be okay. But I was scared. Okay, I'm just going to put it, I was scared. So I go and my mom comes down from St. Charles. And my daughter, Diamond, she comes with me to the doctor, and we go in, and they telling me how this procedure is going to go, and I'm like, a needle, they going to go in that lower axilla and, you know, put the needle in. I'm going to hear some crunching noises. They're going to pull out pieces of my lymph node. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, am I going to be asleep? So they was like, no, you're not going to be asleep. I'm not going to be asleep. Okay. And I'm scared again, right? So I'm praying. I pray for everything. So I've been praying, like, get me through this, please, let me get through this, you know, God, whatever, you know, I'm just praying. So I get back there, and I lay down. So another doctor, Dr. Cedars, come in there. He say, oh, hey, nice to meet you. And I'm like, hey, so I'm glad you're African-American. And so I'm like, huh? She's like, yeah, because I've seen this a lot in African-Americans. He said, see all your tests is coming back good. He said, so I see that the lymph nodes be swollen up in African-American women, and it's called a sarcoidosis. It's an autoimmune disease. Now, at that point, I wanted sarcoidosis. I didn't want cancer, right? I wanted sarcoidosis. I wanted to be everything but cancer, okay? And so I'm happy. And that's so sad that I'm happy for sarcoidosis. But I'm like, okay. I said, can you write that down? My paperwork said it might be sarcoidosis, blah, 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 you know, whatever. He's like, yeah. So I'm laying down, and I'm just knowing this is going to hurt. He's like, I'm going to stick you with the needle. You're going to feel a really strong pinch. I'm going to put some lanacane in there, you know, all that. I didn't feel nothing. I mean, nothing. Nothing at all. Yes, nothing at all. So he said, he's talking to me. He's like, so you went to school, you're a chef, and we just talking. And then he said, no, I said, oh, they said it's bilateral. He said, are you a nurse? And like, you know, I'm trying to talk these words I hadn't heard them say. And I said, no. And I'm a chef, and he was talking about that. And then the nurse, her face, she looked at me because I was so nervous at first. She looked at me with this look on her face, and she like, are you okay? Do you feel that? And I'm like, do I feel what? She's like, if she feels it, she would say something. And I was like, I really don't. I was so much into my conversation, I never felt it at all. Never felt nothing at all.
My Lord, okay, so, thank you, Jesus.
Yes, amen. So that point, so he was telling me it's sarcoidosis, and I went out thinking it's sarcoidosis, okay? I don't know if you guys know what sarcoidosis is, but nobody wants sarcoidosis. You know, nobody wants cancer either, but you don't want sarcoidosis. You don't want sarcoidosis. If I'm even saying it right, you're saying it right. So so they get the test back, right? So I have this thing from St. Francis. It's called My Chart. So all my results, every test I take, every bill, everything comes to My Chart, which that's not really good for people like me. And so my results came back in a couple of days from the Mayo Clinic in Massachusetts. I know personally them because I called them. Okay, so it came back, and when I first read it, I was going into my other doctor's appointment a couple of days later because before all this, she said she thought I had fibroids. So I was going there to get an ultrasound down on my uterus. So as I'm walking into there, I see my chart come up. I see it says leukemia. So that's all I see, right? And so I'm like, leukemia. So I'm like sweating. I'm hyperventilating. I go in there. I'm like calling my mom, like, what is this? Whatever. And she like sent it to me. She sent it to her nurse friends. Everybody's reading this, whatever. All the time, my gynecologist sitting right there in my face. I never asked her nothing. So then I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to ask her. So I was like, for one, she told me it was no fibroids. Then, so amen to that, too. Then she said, let me read it. Yeah, no fibroids. Yes. Yeah. So then she reads this paper, and it said it was no leukemia. But I just saw leukemia from the Mayo Clinic. So I'm like, oh, great, no cancer, you know. And they said, but can't rule out Hodgkin's. So I'm like, okay. So, but mind you, I'm looking at this paper, and it's telling me then what I had. I just didn't know. They didn't tell me. Telling me I'm positive for these CD, these markers for Hodgkin's. They never telling me this, right? So, but it said no leukemia. So I'm thinking, okay, good. I have sarcoidosis. You know, that's what I'm thinking. Okay. And my sister Erica, she has scleroderma. So I'm thinking, like, and that's an autoimmune disease too. So I'm thinking, okay, that's what it is. Okay. So they call me, and I'm like, okay, no cancer. It was a Friday now. She calls me, my doctor. I'm out walking the track. He says, hey, Tamara, how you doing? I'm like, good. And he was like, so we have to do a lymph node removal. I said, why? And he's like, because we cannot rule out Hodgkin's. They still don't know what it is. They can't rule out. They didn't get enough tissue. They call them snippets of the lymph node. They need to take the whole lymph node out, chop it up, you know, all of it, to see if it's sarcoidosis, whatever else. I said no at first. I was like, no, you told me it wasn't cancer. And then I talked to my mom. She's like, Tammy, you need to know, you know, figure it out. So I said, okay. So I told her, okay, so put me on a book for surgery. They told me, okay, we have surgery on your birthday. They didn't know it was my birthday. They just told me February 23rd. So now we're in the third week, right? So it was February 6th when I first got the initial, you know, test and said it was abnormal. Now we're February 23rd. I got to have surgery again. I am scared. I am so scared. I'm by myself. And my mama didn't come. She had to work. So she didn't come down from St. Charles. So I'm by myself. And my son was coming, but he had football practice or something that morning with football. And so I'm by myself in there. I'm shaking. I'm scared. I'm praying. And I'm like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to get through this. I'm not worried about nothing. I'm going to get through this. So they did the surgery, removed the lymph node. I didn't have no issues because I always have a fear of not waking up. They put me down. I don't know why. I woke up. I was happy as ever. I did good. I'm here today to tell a story, so I lived. So I went home, went to work the next day. Yeah, went to work the next day. Was supposed to be off for 6 weeks. I didn't need to be off this. I went to work the next day. So I'm like, okay, I'm good. Okay, so that's the 23rd. Okay, I believe that's Thursday. So I'm looking for my chart, you know, for my results to come in, okay? They never come in. They never came in. So Thursday, I'm thinking it's going to come Thursday. I don't know why I thought that. It didn't come. It didn't come Friday. I'm like, if it's something major, it's going to come back fast. Okay, so Monday, I believe it's the 27th, it came back. I just got off work. I was upstairs with my daughters. Talking to them, Nurse Simone called me. That's Dr. McAdams' nurse. She said, hey, Dr. McAdams, I want to talk to you. So I'm like, okay. So my heart dropped. Think about it now. Whew. So I'm like, okay, let me go downstairs. My daughters, I don't want to, you know. So I go downstairs, and I sit down, and he says, you have cancer. I said, cancer? I said, are you sure? He said, I'm sure you have cancer. I said, really? Oh, I want to cry. I said, really? What kind of cancer do I have? He said, well, you have nodular lymphocyte predominant Hodgkin's lymphoma. I said, wow, such a long name. I said, what is that? He said, well, it's cancer in the lymph nodes. But my treatment, which you stopped here, Tamara, you have to see an oncologist. I stopped here right now, so we don't talk about this no more. And I said, oh, okay. So I was like, so I got the phone to him. I dropped to my knees. I prayed. I knew I was going to be okay. I knew I was. I knew it. So you know what I did? I went and got my kids. We went and had some food. We went and ate dinner. I ate more than I've ever eaten, than I ate the last 3 weeks. So my friend said, now I want to talk to my friend. And my friend said, Tamara, you seem at peace. That I am. I'm gonna be okay. I don't know why I'm going through this. I dare not ask why. you know, this is, I'm not, this is why not me. I'm not. I don't know what's this, what's the reason. I don't even care the reason. This is my season. I'll go through and this will be just it. I don't care. I'm going to go through it. I'm going to do this. This is nothing. You know, this is nothing. And so she's like, you seem so peace, at peace with it. Yes, I am. Now, would I be sitting here lying, acting like I still wasn't, I'd had my moments where I got scared? Yes, I had my moments. But I knew I was going to be okay, y'all. Like I knew it. Like, I just knew it. You know, and it made me think about
That's
it.
Good.
So,
it's all right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So,
take your time. It's all
I'm
right.
Like, so I'm like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to be okay. So I'm telling my kids, we're not going to Google nothing. We're not going to, you know, because you don't know the stage. You don't know what it is. You know, we're not going to Google whatever. We're not going to do that. So he told me, I have to get you hooked up with an oncologist. And I said, okay. And they was like, we'll let you know next week. Okay, you're not going to let me know next week? Because I need to know today. Okay, I have this parasite in me. I have to know what's going on. Okay, so we go. So for whoever is listening, you have to advocate for yourself. You have to.
Amen. Amen.
They will tell you what they want to tell you. They will tell you. Have to ask for second opinions. You have to do your own research. When they tell you they will call you tomorrow, or you will call me today. Matter of fact, you will call me. You will talk to me right now, because they work for you. You paying them. You know, I'm not going to wait. You getting paid by me. You're not paying me, so you would let me know what's going on now. And it can happen. I talked to plenty of people. They said they were diagnosed in 5 or 6 months. I was diagnosed in 3 weeks. Because
mm-hmm.
I pushed and I advocated for myself. So I said, you have to do that. And I tell these young girls here today at my job, honey, you have to push, advocate for yourself, because don't nobody love you like you love you. You have to push, because you're just another patient, just another number, just another check to them. But not
Amen.
My doctor. My doctor. Not my doctor. Okay, so, but the other doctors. Okay, so I was like, okay, I got cancer. Okay, so we got to just do this. So I remember I was in the shower. And usually I have my quiet time in the shower where I pray and I talk to God and I cry because I want my kids to hear. And so I was talking to him, and I was just praying and talking to him. And he talks to me. And I was going to be okay, right? I knew that. So the next day I called my mom, because she's a 9-year breast cancer survivor. And she said, Tamara, I don't want to wait. We don't want to wait for the doctor, because it'll be a couple of weeks. But I'll get you to my doctor. And I was like, who is your doctor? She was like, Dr. Moore. And I was like, oh, but he's going to pay people for like 2 or 3 weeks, not new people. She said, we'll see. So Linda called me that same day. And said, we'll see you next Tuesday. I said, oh, okay. Look at God. Okay.
Look at God.
Yeah. Look at God. Because like I said, I said, okay. So I go see Dr. Moore. When I tell you guys, this is a beautiful man. Like I'm talking about the doctor. God, too. We're talking about the doctor right now. So he got me in, and mind you, I'm scared, right? Still, knowing I'm going to beat this, but I'm still fresh, you know. So I get in here, and he looks at me, so I'm sweating. Now I'm telling you, I am pouring, drenching sweat under my arm. I get into the cancer center, and then, too, the cancer center itself is like a mountain, like the biggest thing that you've ever seen. When you knowing you got to go in and it's about you with the cancer, that cancer word, that's that bad word we say, you know. So it's like I'm walking up to this building, and it's humongous. I didn't walk past this building, went and done it 101 times before, but now it's for me. And it was so big and so intimidating. And I walk in this building, and she says to me, hi, Tamara. I said, hi, Tamara. How do you know my name? You know, I'm like, okay, you can go to the back, you can register. I'm like, okay. She said, go upstairs to the infusion part, you know, the cancer thing, the part upstairs. I'm like, okay. I go upstairs, and it's a lot of ladies, older ladies. I see, like, they port scars. I see all that on them. They have, like, somebody with them. And it's kind of packed in there. I'm by myself. My mom is coming, though. And so I walk past this one older lady, and she said, she's so beautiful. No, she's so pretty. And at the time, you would want to compliment, right? But this time, I didn't want to hear it, because not that I didn't want to hear it. I just, I don't know. So she said she's so pretty, and I had a hat on, okay, that said Faith. And I don't know why I was hiding my face. I had pulled my hat down so low like I was incognito or something. I don't know why I did that, but I did that. And I walked past her, and I kind of smiled, you know, and she said that. And I went to the receptionist, and she says, oh, she's so young. And I said, oh, my goodness. So I just start crying. Because you use them compliments is good. So, you know, that you want to hear those, but not this time. When I don't want to hear I'm beautiful because it's like if I have cancer. I don't want to hear I'm young because I'm not. I'm 43. And, you know, but it's like, okay. So I start crying. And she goes, you'll be okay. So I went and sat down. Then my mom comes, and we talk. And then the doctor calls me to the back. Okay, so now I'm scared, right? I am scared. So I don't know what he's going to say. We get back there. I'm drenched in sweat. Well, mind you, first of all, back there, I'm praying. I pray. I just pray, pray, pray. And I'm just praying and praying and praying that everything be okay, you know. I will be okay. You know, I pray for peace. I pray for understanding, you know. But I'm praying that this is his will and it will be done. But this is just a season, you know. This is not forever. So I'm going back. I go back there, and I'm still scared. And I'm not going to lie. And he says, he looks at me, he steers me for maybe, it seemed like eternity, but it was maybe a second or two. And he put his hands together, and he says, hey, Tamara. I said, hey. He said, we're going to cure this. And I said, huh? And he said, we're going to cure this. And I said, we're going to
cure
this.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, so, yeah. So I'm going to say this. Years and years and years, for as long as I remember, when I pray to God, when me and God have our conversations, I always ask him, I always pray that they find a cure for cancer. I pray for that, a cure that will heal you, not kill you. And I always say cure, I always say cure. And he gave me back, that doctor gave me back those words. I was cured. So I knew that was God talking to me, right? Okay, so I'm like, okay. And I'm not even mad. Like, it's not, I didn't blame God for this disease. I did not. You know, I was just like, okay. And so I'm like, so what do you mean you'll cure it? Because cancer is not curable.
Hallelujah.
And I said, yes. And I said, okay. And I started crying. And he said, but we have to stage it. You know, he said, no matter what stage, I will cure you. No matter what stage. He said, I need to stage it to see the treatment. And I'm like, okay. So he says, if you stage 0 to 2, it's radiation. If you're stage 3 to 4, it's chemo and radiation. I'm like, okay. He said, and he's asking, I have all these symptoms, and I don't have no symptoms, like none. I mean, I lost 17 pounds, but it wasn't because of cancer. It was because I just stopped eating. I knew. I just didn't have an appetite. So he was like, okay, you have no symptoms. He didn't feel the one knot on the other. He didn't feel nothing either. And so with this cancer, you have, like, night sweats, drenching night sweats. You'd be very fatigued. It's like, I don't know. I think that was the two main things. That, you know, I didn't have none of it, right? So I was like, okay, so now that's another level. Now we have to stage it. So that's scary, right? That's 2 weeks of just, oh, my goodness. So I had to have a bone marrow biopsy, and then I had to have a PET scan. So that bone marrow biopsy, that sounds terrible because it is, I guess. It wasn't for me. But they say it's terrible. But my God said it ain't. So he did the bone.
Right.
I'm praying. Yeah, I'm praying about it. I'm praying. And I remember I was just in the shower crying. And I go get the bone marrow biopsy. When I got off the table, matter of fact, the machine rocked me to sleep. I heard it drilling into my bone. I heard it. I didn't feel it. I heard it. And it's, you know, and I'm thinking, oh my, like God is so good. Like,
yeah.
And just like everything, I know I'm forgetting so much of his conversations, but it was so, like, let me tell you, if you didn't have faith in it, and you would, if I didn't, I would today, because oh my gosh, he showed me so much favor. And I think, like, trials and tribulations, I think that it exposes faith. You know,
yes.
You have to, it exposes it. It's there. It just brings it up. You know, I don't question God on why I got cancer. I don't say, well, my son has a brain tumor. I never did. You know, I just took it. I tried to be good and live right and love him and love everybody. And I tried. And I'm not, you know, anyway, so
right.
As I'm getting this thing, this bone marrow biopsy, now everybody's telling me, Karen, it's going to hurt. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. And I'm like, okay. So I'm laying on my stomach getting this bone marrow biopsy, and I hear him drilling into the bone. I don't feel it. Like I said, they rocking me back and forth, going to the CT machine, coming out. They say I'm done. I get up to walk away. They tell me, no, I have to get in a wheelchair. I said, okay, so my son takes me in a wheelchair. He takes me down to his car, get in the car. He drives me back home. I then get out his car, get into my car, and go to work. Okay, so this is after
by law.
Yeah. So I said, okay. Mm-hmm. So then I had to get a PET scan. And mind you, I told you, I'm a lot claustrophobic, okay? So now the PET scan is you in a PET scan for 27 minutes. Okay, so I'm like, 27 minutes, huh? I can't even barely do 2 minutes, honey, and 47 seconds. Who are you telling? 27 minutes. I said,
girl.
So that's not going to happen. Yeah, I said, that's not going to happen. So I said, go get your boss, because I can't get in that machine for 27 minutes, honey. Woke. Not woke. I mean, you put me out, I can do it. But not woke, okay? Okay, I'm going to get the boss. Okay, go get him. Go get him. Go get him, her. Go get him. Okay, go get him. So I say, you know, they tell me they're going to put me in the machine for 27 minutes, and then God told me to shut my mouth. I said, okay, so I could talk it. I'll probably
he will do that.
You know? Yeah. Yes, I said, okay. I said, be quiet. Let the people do their job. Now, quit meddling with the people. And so I get in here, and they tell me, we got to put this radioactive stuff inside you. And I'm like, oh, no, we got to put you behind this, like, this thick lead door and, you know, just all this old mess, right? So I'm like, okay. But I wasn't, let me tell you, now this time I wasn't worried. God spoke to me loud and clear. I was being quiet. I stood still. He told me to stand down. Let him handle it. So I was like, okay. So I get in there on a PET scan machine. I got a little scared again. I ain't going to hold you. I ain't going to lie. So I got in there and they told me lay perfectly still. 27 minutes lay perfectly still. And I'm not a skinny lady. So this little bed, they put you on all your stuff on each side, you know, off the bed. Now, I said, can I get a little more, some pillows or something? I need some pillows. You want me to lay perfectly still for 27 minutes on this slab of brick, it feel like? So she said, no, you'll be okay. I'm thinking, I'm going to lay here 27 minutes. You're not going to be okay. But the guy told me to shut my mouth again. So I said, I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to lay still. So, yeah.
Okay.
So I said, I lay still. And so, okay, so this is what. So she tells me, she says, Tamara, when you get in the machine, it's really big. A PET scan, I mean, I'm sure it's big. Okay, she said, I'm claustrophobic, so they got to put two towels over my face. Okay, so I won't open my eyes. So she says, when you get in this machine, I'm going to talk to you in 5 minutes, and I'm going to tell you have 20 minutes left, you know. And in my head, I'm thinking, please don't do that. Because if you tell me I have 20 minutes left, it's just like telling me I have 20 hours left. Just let me be in there and don't say nothing, you know. So, but I didn't say that because I had to be quiet. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to listen. So I ain't going to say nothing because I'm going to make them mad. I'm in this machine. I'm in control. You know, so I'm just going to lay here. So I get in this machine, right, and I'm laying there. And I was saying to myself, please don't say you have 20 minutes. Don't say it. She didn't say it because, you know, so while I'm in this machine, I'm laying down. So she said, if you have an issue or you want me to bring you out, she said, just talk to me and I'll pull you out. And I'm like, okay. So she said, I can hear everything you say. I said, okay. So the whole time I'm in there praying and I'm laughing and God, you know, but that's my, now he's my friend. Now he know me. He know I am. So, and he know I'm a little silly sometimes. So I'm in there laughing. I'm praying. I'm thinking of stuff. I'm just like, just really praying, talking to my, you know, God, my friend, you know, hey, I'm talking to him. So she never said nothing to me, right? She never said anything to me. So she pulls me out, and she's laughing, right? She's laughing. She said, who are you talking to? And I knew I was talking, but I didn't know I was talking out loud. You know, I'm thinking I'm in my head talking. I didn't know I was just really cutting the food, you know, up in there. Without, you know? So she's like, yeah. She said, who are you talking to? I said, huh? She goes, oh, I'm praying. I said, I was praying. I'm thinking, oh, she about to think I'm about crazy. She wants to give me a pop here. And I was like, oh, no, I was praying. I was praying. She said, you were just laughing. And I said, was I? She said, I was like, oh, my gosh, listen to her. And I was like, oh, wow. I said, I didn't know I was saying it out loud like that. She said, you would just laugh. I didn't bother you. And I was thinking, yeah, I was praying. And so when she told me she pulled me out, she said, okay, you're done. I'm like, I'm done. Literally, I feel like I've been in there no more than 2 or 3 minutes. But it was 27 minutes, not 25, 27. added in, I feel like, because I was having a good time. So I'm like, okay, so I jump off the table. I'm too happy. I go back to work, getting time for my food that's in the oven to work. I go back to work. Okay, so then I'm like, okay. So then she said, so I have another test. I have to do an echo strain on my heart. Okay, I'm scared too, okay, with that. I get scared, okay. So I'm like, what's she going to see? You know, I don't know. And so I get in there, and they do the echo strain in my heart, and it's a good, you know, it's in my heart was good. And the lady that I'm talking to her, and I'm trying to talk to her because she won't look at the test. I don't know why I feel like that, because she won't look at me and I do a job. I don't know. And so I'm like, okay, I don't want no bad news, but it wasn't no bad news. So, you know, it was fine. And she talked to me, and she gives me another number to another lady who had cancer who can talk to me and get me through this. And it was an African-American lady, because I'm doing another thing with my hair, and she can talk to me through it. And so I was like, okay. I was like, see, this guy put this lady in my, you know, she was the one doing my test, and she hooked me up with somebody, you know. It just, you know, just the blessings just keep on coming. So I feel good, okay. So now we got to go back to the doctor now, 2 weeks now that I'm staged. So I'm going back to the doctor. So we get in there, and so I know I have cancer, right? I know that. So I don't know if it's touching the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I don't know where it's at. I just know I have it. But I know I'm going to be okay, no matter what this test says, you know. So I get in the doctor, and he says, okay. Mind you, remember, he said 0 to 2, radiation. 3 to 4, chemotherapy. So I already knew I was going to do just radiation. I knew it wasn't going to be. It was going to be 0. That's what I knew it was going to be. But, okay, I get in there. He tell me, hey, Tamara, so you're stage 2A. I said, 2A, huh? I said, what does that mean? He said, well, it's above the diaphragm. It's on one side of the diaphragm. It's on one side of the diaphragm. It's just, you know, right by the breast. He said, you know, and it's in a lymph node. So when people think, because they think lymphoma is blood cancer, they can be solid, you know. So I have tumors. So it's not, you know, so I was thinking like it was going to go from, and it's just in my lymphatic system, so it didn't mess with my spleen, which that's a major, it didn't touch that, it didn't touch nothing in my lungs, it didn't touch my groin area, my knee area, it didn't do nothing, it didn't touch none of that. It just stayed right there. And they think like it's a blood cancer, it's just a liquid cancer, but it is solid. It's, I don't know how to explain it. It's just, it don't like gold travel like people think it does, not mine. And so he's like, it's above the diaphragm. I'm like, okay. And so I was like, okay, radiation it is. He said, no, chemotherapy. The chemotherapy. You told me. So I started crying. I said, you told me that I won't have to do chemotherapy. You told me if I'm 2, 0 to 2 in radiation. He said, but you're healthy and you're young. He said, so you can handle a little chemo. And I mind you guys, I already knew that I wanted the most aggressive form of treatment. Because I'm a mama, right? And I got to be here for my kids. And I want to, like, shoot me with your best shot one time. Just get it out the way. And I'll handle that. But I don't want to come back and, you know, give me a little here, a little there. Just give it to me the most aggressive form, you know. And I knew that. I knew that. But I didn't want to say that. But I knew that. I knew, you know, but I knew it. I knew I was ready for that. And then I said it. So he went with it. He said, no, I'm going to give you a little bit of chemo. So I said, so I started crying, right? And I said, I'm going to be sick. You know, I just knew I was going to be sick. I was going to lose my hair. Not that I'm that vain for hair, but the whole hair thing for me, 2 little daughters, and I have 3 daughters, exact, but I got 2 little ones, and I don't want them to see cancer when they saw their mama. Because I'm all they have. Okay, and so, and I'm strong. This is what that's for. They don't take it. They don't, my kid is not taking this diagnosis like I thought they should, especially my older ones, because they see me, and to them, I look quote-unquote regular. So they think mama just okay. Like, I'm not mowing grass and barbecuing and, you know, after my treatments. And so, I was like, I can't have that look that they say what cancer look like, and that's just a lie, you know, because that ain't, but that's what I'm thinking, right? So I said, you tell me. He's like, well, I'm going to give you 4 rounds of chemo and 15 rounds of radiation. And I'm like, that is a lot, sir. And my mom looked at me like, a lot. I had 8 and 40 rounds of radiation. I'm like, huh? So he's like, I'm going to do this and, you know, telling me all this stuff. He's going to give me nothing. You know, I'm like, okay. So now I'm sad and crying, you know. And then he says, I said, my hair. You know, my hair. And he says, oh, wait, you can do this treatment called cold capping where it can possibly save 60 to 80% of your hair. And I said, really? I never heard of it. So now my face is lit up and I'm happy, right? I'm like, okay, so I'm ready to do this chemo thing. Now, I'm sure I'm going to get through this, right? I just said, like I said, the hair part, because I'm not vain by no means. It's just that, you know, I guess a little part I want. Look, God just told me, stop lying. Yes, I did want my hair, okay? It's, but, look, you told me, stop, yeah. Stop all that, Taylor. You want your hair, stop all that.
It's all right. It's all right,
dude. Yeah, he told me. Now, you going to quit saying you don't want that, so you ain't vain, okay? No. I have to talk to him a little. He keeps telling me that, y'all.
Just a little bit.
Talk over. But he's telling me, you or you want your hair? Okay, so I do. Okay, God, I do. Yeah, I want my hair. I do. I do. But the two now, I didn't want my daughter to see that too. But yes, I do want my hair too. Okay, so, and I got my hair. Okay, so then he said the cold cap. And mind you, the cold cap is another whole thing because it's very, very, very expensive. So I'm like, okay, but God worked that out too. And with the cold cap is another whole level. Yeah, it's another whole level of difference. I mean, you think chemo is not the best thing. The cold cap is another level of, oh, goodness gracious. But I don't know that. I'm telling you because what people told me because I didn't feel none of it, okay? So this is what they tell me. It's terrible, okay? Yeah, I didn't feel none of it. So I'm like, okay, so we work it out. I get the cold cap. Now, mind you, the cold cap is something that comes from the UK. It's a cap that you put on your head. You strap it under your chin. You have to have 2 people with you. Each time you do treatment, they have to change this cold cap. It's a negative 28 to 32 degrees. It stays on your head. It freezes your hair follicles, and so your hair follicles are dormant, so the chemo can never penetrate them. And you have to do it for every 25 minutes. They got to put a new cold cap on your head. And it literally, they say, it gives you brain freeze. It hurts. It's like, it's cold, right? I don't know this. I didn't feel it. So I'm like, okay. Yes, I don't know. So they tell me this. Right? I'm researching it. So I get my cold cap in. And so mind you, okay, so I'm all strong all the way up until the 6th. Now, this is how God still got his hand in it. I asked my doctor, it's like the 21st or something. He says, when do you want to start your treatment? I said, do I need to now? I mean, like, he said, it don't matter. He said, how about this? How about you start on Good Friday? I said, Good Friday. That's my thing. He just said it. I said, look at the guy. He said, oh, you see, he had his hands all in it. I said, okay, Good Friday it is. I said, so now the 6th, my son's birthday. So I'm in there. Now, y'all have been acting like I'm so strong, right? I'm going to be honest with you. I had my moments, you know.
Yes, you did.
I had my moments. Yeah, so Shalene, you know, because I'm calling you, but I had my moment.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes, I have a moment. And I remember on the 6th, I was in the shower having my time. Whenever I broke down, now, I mean, I gave all of me. I was so vulnerable. I cried. I probably almost drowned because I'm in the shower, head straight up, looking into, you know, looking at water going in my face. I'm like, pleading and begging and to God, I'm like, I don't know what the hell, like, get me through. I don't know. I was just saying a whole bunch of things, and I was like, I'm not strong. Like, I can't. And so as I'm praying, I'm crying, I'm praying, I don't know, I'm just doing a lot. Like, I'm crying so hard, I'm choking, probably on that shower water and everything else. And I remember this song came in my head, and I can't sing, so I'm going to say this. Y'all probably remember this song the way I'm going to say it because I can't sing, right? But that song, it was on Look Who's Talking. I didn't know this at the moment, but that song is They Have a Little Faith in Me. You guys ever heard that song where They Have a Little Faith in Me?
Yes.
Okay, I know, you probably really don't because the way I sound, but So that song, okay, so as I'm praying and crying, that song keep coming in my head, like, I'm like, but I'm petty, like, oh, I'm pushing it off, praying, and like I'm breaking down, like I'm on my knees, I'm giving it all to him. And so, because the next day is chemo, right? And so, and this song keep coming in my head, I'm like, what is this? So I'm steady praying. I mean, this song was in my head. I'm in the shower, just 15, 20 minutes, like crying and praying and crying. And finally, the third, fourth time it comes into my head, I stop everything I'm doing, and I start singing the song. And I'm like, have a little faith. And then I knew God was telling me, have faith in me. Like, he already knew it. He's telling me to be, child, be still. Be still. Have faith, Cameron. And he know I have it, but he's telling me, have faith. And I'm like, why is this song keep coming to my head? And I ain't heard this song since I went, after this was done, I think I was telling the story at church, and I Googled this song, and it was in Look Who's Talking back when I was 9 years old. I'm 43 years old, so I ain't heard this song and that many years. So this song, yeah, this song would have never been in my head,
Lord,
you know,
God.
And that was it. And that was God telling me to have faith in him. And I was like, so when I stopped, and I started singing this song, and I started just smiling and singing this song, and the way I sing it, and God's I was thinking, Lord, I should have given my baby some voice, but that's okay. So I'm just singing this song, and I'm just smiling, and then I started crying, because I knew that was him telling me to have faith, you know. And so the next day, I get up. This is my chemo day now. I get up and my mom said, Tamara, you look so peaceful. And I was, y'all. I wasn't acting this time. I wasn't being strong. I was at peace with all of it. I was. If I wasn't no other time, this time I was at peace.
Yes.
And I go in there for my treatment. Yes, I go in there and I got this cold cap. I didn't think it was going to do nothing to me. They said it was going to do it, but I knew I was going to be okay. And I remember I sat in there, and she tells me, that they come telling me, Tamara, this is the medicine we're going to give you. This medicine might make you sick. We're going to stop it. We're going to use this medicine to calm you down, then back, you start it back up. Tell me all this stuff. I'm sitting there in complete peace. And I'm looking at her. I'm like, okay. She starts my chemo and my port. And they put my hat on, my cold cap. Now, mind you, this cap is negative 28 degrees. They put this cap on my head. I don't feel it. I don't feel it. So I say, are y'all, is it cold enough? I don't feel it. And it's like, Tamara, yes, it's cold enough. I'm like, okay. So my medicine going on my porch, she's like, we're going to do the chemo first. They flipped it around. They're like, you might get sick off this. A lot of people get sick off this. I'm like, okay. I never got sick. The medicine went in smooth. I never had a hiccup with it. I never felt the cap ever. I got up and I walked. When we was done about 7 hours later, I got up and I walked out and I left. That was on Friday. Saturday, I got up that morning. I went to Lowe's and to Menards to get some plants to put in my garden. Which, not Easter, I was tired. But nothing major, right? I was tired. Monday, I went to work. Okay, so I went to work the whole time up until my next treatment. Every 3 weeks, I have four treatments. Every third Friday, I had a treatment. Then I'm off the weekend. So I went to my other treatment. I was fine. God showed me so much favor. Like, I was fine. Like, I am fine. Like, three, 4 months ago, someone would ask me, what do you think chemo would do to you if you were to ever get cancer, Tamara? I would say, probably be sick, probably lose a bunch of weight, probably, you know. None of that never happened. Matter of fact, I gained the weight back, I lost. They told me I would lose my appetite. I never did.
Crazy.
They told me, yes, that I would be really sick. No, I didn't. I would be tired. I still went on.
Hallelujah.
You know, just like all these things they were telling me, and I just went on. And then my second treatment came, and I was fine. I get my treatments on Fridays. I mow my grass on Tuesdays. I went to work. My third treatment came. They tell me, okay, you know, everything looks good. My blood work is all good. They tell me I'm still retaining 95% of my hair. They tell me, well, maybe 90%. I'm not going to lie to you. They tell me, they say you can, your blood work look good. Because, you know, when you get the chemo, they have to do your blood work first to make sure your platelets is fine, make sure you're not anemic. So she says, okay, everything looks good, but they let the chemo go. I mean, I can do the chemo. I'm like, okay. Then she comes back in there. Oh, wait, stop the chemo because your enzymes in your heart is going up. They went from 2 to 17.4 out of the normal range. They thinking that it can possibly, they thinking it's the chemo because I'm taking the Red Devil chemo. That's one of the most strongest forms of chemo ever invented for breast cancer. So I'm taking a little bit of that. So they think, and that's called adriamycin, and they think that's one of the effects that medicine can do to you. You can have being heart failure. It can do a lot to you. So when they took my enzymes up, they didn't want it to flood outside the heart muscle. So they went ahead and approved the chemo, though. They went ahead and approved it, the third one, and then told me that now I have to stop my chemo. I have one more treatment left. I have to go get a PET scan. I have to go get an echo spread of my heart again to see if it damaged my heart. And I got to see what this cancer is looking like because they want to take one of the chemos off. So I'm taking three chemos. They want to take one of them off now. So now I'm like, you're taking one off. So what if I need all of them, you know? And so I'm like, I'm praying. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get this echo strain. She did the echo strain of my heart. I went in there with perfect peace. You know, she said, Tamara, she said, I can't really tell you this, but I'm going to tell you this. Your heart looks fine. I said, okay.
Hallelujah.
But I already knew it. Yes, I knew it. But, you know, I'm going to get my PET scan. And that was a little different for me because I got a little sick to my stomach. I think my nerves, you know, I was all over the place. My nerves, I was a little nervous. And so I get the PET scan. And I called them. Wait, so I get the PET scan. And so I was praying that the chemo would be responding. You know, like, please respond. Because I just, a lady that I didn't know, but a friend of mine's half sister, she just passed from cancer, and she took the Red Devil. That's what they call the adriamycin that I'm taking. It's red. So they call it the Red Devil. She took the Red Devil cocktail, and hers didn't respond. It didn't do nothing for her tumor, her cancer. So now the devil's trying to put all these negative things in my head and throw me off my game, you know, like trying to, you know, so I'm like, oh my gosh. So when I go with the PET scan, I'm scared. So I'm like, well, hers didn't respond. She took one of the strongest forms of, you know, this chemo, and her, it didn't respond to hers. Although, and, you know, I know she have a different cancer too, but, you know, it's like, okay, but he's trying to get in my head, you know. And so I'm like praying, God, please let her respond. Please let it, like, have shrunk it from, you know, whatever. Please let it be responding to this chemo. So that's Friday. So now Monday is Memorial Day. Tuesday, I call the nurse, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? I said, this is Tamara Kidd. You called me back. I just want to know my results and my PET scan. I know you got the results. The imaging is right downstairs. You upstairs. I know you got the results. So she didn't call me back. So I'm like, oh, my goodness. She wants the doctor to talk to me. It must not be good. That's what I'm thinking. But, you know, I should have knew better than that. So now, so they call me back Wednesday. And she says, hey, she's real stoic. Is this Tamara Crittle? I said, yes. Dr. Moore wanted me to call you first thing this morning, let you know that you have the PET scan came back, complete response. I said, complete response. What does that mean? She said, honey, I can't. He told me he'd talk to you Friday. I really can't talk to you about it. He said, but I'm thinking it's good. She said, but that's about it. And she hung up. So I'm like, complete response, huh? And that's all you're going to tell me? You want to talk to me a little bit more? So I'm like, okay. So I'm going to Google what complete response means. So I Google what complete response. Complete response means. Let me tell you how good God is. I was praying that it responds to the chemo, okay? I just wanted to respond. I wanted to show that it shrunk a little bit. It did something. God told me, no, I'm going to do one better for you. I'm going to take the cancer away.
Yeah.
So complete response.
Amen. Glory to God.
So complete response. Yes. Complete response means they detect no cancer. No cancer detected.
Yeah.
And so I said, said, the lady, another nurse calls me, and she told me, Tim, I got the results of your echo strain. And she told me, your heart is healthy, honey. She'll give me all these numbers. And she said, your heart is still standing where it's still March 2nd. I said, oh, my God, thank God, because it can go into heart failure, you know, so they think that. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, thank you. And then she said, and I also see on here that you had a complete response to your PET scan. And she talking to me a little more, and she explained to me, she was like, oh, honey, she started laughing, but not laughing in a mean way, laughing like, congratulations, honey, congratulations. There's no cancer detected. Congratulations. And I was crying.
Yes.
And I just was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And I just, I'm praising him because only he can do that. That's him.
Yeah,
man.
I was like, wow.
Amen.
And all I asked, and I'm asking for praying for small things. I'm asking him just to show improvement in this cancer. And he told me, I'm like, shut. You ask me for everything. He changed it. He took it away, all of it away. It is
normal.
And I'm trying to be, so now I'm like, okay, I'm going to call the doctor. And I want to talk to him. I want him to tell me now. So he had his nurse call me and say, you know, the same thing. And so then now fast forward to Friday. And I know what he said, but I still want to see these scans. So he showed me the scans. And he showed me from the first scan to the scan that I just took. And he showed me how the cancer, you know, where the cancer was at. And he showed me that those spots are all gone now.
Hallelujah.
And, he said, yeah, and he said that, I said, well, do I still got to do this last treatment now? Because, you know, it's gone. I got to do treatment. And he said, yes, I want you to do the treatment. He said, and the reason why, he said, because you was always scheduled for 4 treatments. I said, just 4. He said, but it's gone. So look at it like this. It's already gone. But it's really going to knock it out. If it even wanted to even be there, and it's not. And he said, but this, yes, do it. He said, is responding really well to this chemo, and I am. He said, so I don't got no issue with that. He said, I think you should do it. Just do it. And I did it. And they had a rock ceremony for me. And
hallelujah.
And no kids. Or no cancer to take it. I said, wow.
Thank you, Jesus.
God is a miracle worker.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
So,
glory.
Yeah. Okay, this is so, this journey. So that I went through, that it's only by the grace of God and by his mercy that I'm here and I can tell my story, because he healed me, completely healed me.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes,
thank you, Jesus.
Yes, and within a few months, I even told the lady in Walmart the other day, I said, she said, I think I'm cancer free. And she said, already? She said, I said,
hallelujah.
I'm cancer free.
Yeah.
Already. Yeah. And also the grace of God. So that is my story. And God is so good to me. And
He is. Yeah.
Like I said, I don't know why. Yeah, but I don't know what reason for me to have it. I don't care to know. You know, I had it. It's done. But you know, I can say with this, like me and my daughter is closer. Me and my kids are closer. You know,
thank
I look
you,
at life so different now.
Yeah,
I look at it so much different. I appreciate
everything.
I have a beautiful
Yeah.
I have a beautiful garden outside. My son planted for me. I eat healthier now. I appreciate the little things now, the little things.
Amen.
That I didn't, you know, just to get straight up out the bed and not feel sick. Or I appreciate all of it. I appreciate being able to go to work. I appreciate being able to go stand outside and just, like, mow the grass in the heat because I can, you know. Like, yes, I lost a little bit. Yeah, I lost a little of my hair. That's hair. But I'm not going to say I don't like the God, and I'll be lying. But I'm just saying, I still have it. But that's not, that is something, but it's not, I feel good. I feel good.
Amen.
You know, and although I beat it, I still went through something to get there. But I can't tell. When I say he held my hand, I used to say that. So I need to quit saying that because, no, he picked me and put me on his back. He put me on his shoulders. I didn't do nothing. I didn't even walk.
Right.
He took me. And I was just like, and I said, wow, look at you showing out. I said, you're showing out. And he showed out with me. And I don't know. Yes. And so I used to have faith. And I know we, you know, and faith, anybody can say, girl, just have faith. But you really have to believe it. And try to walk, you know, walk right and live right. I even got baptized. My kids
hallelujah.
Got baptized.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, we got baptized going through all this. Yeah, so it's just like, so that's my story. That is my
Amen.
Story.
Thank Amen. You. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Won't he do it? God is a miracle worker. And God is getting all the glory. That's what I'm talking about. See, God can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can even think to ask. Well, I'm so blessed by your story, and I'm sure that it's going to inspire a lot of other people that may have just gotten a diagnosis. You help them to maybe understand some of the processes that they'll go through, which is a blessing. And most importantly, you reminded them to have faith. And going through this, we are human beings. We can't sit around and, oh, I'm so strong, I feel nothing. No, it's not that we won't doubt, we won't question, we won't fear. But the bottom line is, we still have faith. We hold on. We pray. We ask God to strengthen us. Beautiful, beautiful, inspiring story. And it is miraculous. And I want to thank you for sharing it with all of our listeners. We do have some of the Spirit Alive family in the house. So if anybody has their own miracle or miraculous story that they would like to share, or they just want to comment to Sister Tamara's story, you are more than welcome. Let's start with you, Minister Tina. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you so much, Tamara, for sharing your story with us this evening. It's not easy to go back through all the things that you've been through this last year and what you had to endure. It just goes to show God moves mountains, and he can do things when we walk by faith, when we trust in him, and when we believe in him and pray to him and thank him for our blessings. You did that all the way along the way, and you never gave up hope. You never gave up faith. That is a testimony to how walking by faith does promote miracles. So praise God for you and your remission. That is such a wonderful thing, and we praise God for you and your story. Thank you so much for sharing.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Tina. Minister Adam, would you like to have a word about your own
praise
miracle or comment on what you heard?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
I thank God for... First of all, I thank God for being here, the Lord being the head of my life, in Jesus' name. I thank God for my miracle, in Jesus' name. I was diagnosed, born with heart disease. It was a heart disease called tricuspid atresia, and I am one of the first the second person to ever live through a surgery called ECMO. And it was given back in the 1980s. Only 3 children had it at that time. I am the second person to live through it.
Praise the Lord.
They told my father and my mother at that time that I would not live to see age 1. I am... and if I did live to see age 1, I wouldn't live to see 18. I am 35 years old now.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I give praise to God for it. My grandmother prophesied over me when she was alive. And she said, this boy will not die because he has a ministry on him. And until he fulfills it, he will not leave this earth. And I thank God for my grandmother, because my grandmother said that in the 80s when I was first born.
Hallelujah.
She passed in 92, but what she said is still coming to pass even now. I thank God that in 2005, I was at school. And this is the same heart disease that I was born with and I had just turned 18. And I was at school, and I had passed out there at the school with a heart rate of 232 beats a minute.
My Lord.
And when I made it to the hospital that night, fast forward, the doctor asked me, what were you doing? And I said, I was just going upstairs to go to class. That's all I was doing. And he said, what happened? And I said, I passed out there at the school, and that was it. That's the last thing I remember. And even to this day, I don't remember what took place after that. He said, well, when you dropped on the floor, you were supposed to have dropped dead because your heart rate was at 232 beats a minute. That was past the normal heart rate. I have had over 7 open heart surgeries, and I've never told this on air. I've never told this to Bishop Cook, nobody. I've had over 7 open heart surgeries. I've had 2 strokes on my right side. And since I've been an adult, I've had 1 stroke. I've lived through many, many tests and trials, but I thank God that I'm still here.
Hallelujah.
And I praise God for, in 2005, I never asked God to heal me. I never asked God to heal me. In 2010, I had a surgery called an oblation procedure where they shocked your heart back into rhythm. And the doctor told me at the time, he said, what are you doing to keep yourself going? Because at the heart disease that you have, you're supposed to be weaker and you're not supposed to be moving as much. He said, what are you doing? I said, I go to church and I praise the Lord. That's all I do. I go to church, go to work, and I praise the Lord. And he said, well, whatever you're doing, keep doing it because it's keeping you alive.
Amen.
He said, the medicine that I'm giving you could fail you at any time.
That's
right. He said, the medicine that I'm giving you could fail you at any time, and you could drop dead at any time. But whatever you're doing, keep doing it. This man was an atheist. He did not believe in God, and I never asked God to heal me. But at the end of it, I said, God, why am I going through this? At 18, I thought you delivered me from this, and the Lord never answered me until the end. And he said, I sent you through that for a reason, for 3 reasons. Number 1, to build your faith. And number 2, that man is an atheist. He does not believe in me, and I'm going to use you to show him that I live. And
Hallelujah.
Number 3, there was a person at my former church. The Lord told me, he said, I'm going to send you through. I sent you through it because there's a person at your church getting ready to go through the same thing you're about to that you went
Lord,
through.
My Lord, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Won't he do it?
And I went through it. And then next month, my doctor told me, because I told him a couple months before, I said, one day you're going to release me. And I won't have to take no medicine. I won't have to come and see you, because I was going to see him every single week. I was getting blood drawn and everything. And every time I would go see him, he would tell me something was wrong with my heart. Something was wrong with my heart. And I told him, look, I got tired of him telling me this was going on and that was going on. And I said something that my former pastor said to us. She said, when you get so low, to the point you get tired of hearing the negativity, tell yourself and tell that problem, finders keepers. You found it, you keep it.
You keep
and
it.
I told that doctor the last time he told me he found something, I said, look, I respect you in your position because it tells me what to pray for, but finders keepers, that don't belong to me.
All
so
right.
I thank God
That's right.
that I was able to say finders keepers. And I thank God that now that I'm 35 years old, I'm well. I got a family. I have my own children.
I have
Thank
my own
you,
job.
Jesus.
I'm driving. I'm doing everything that the doctor said I would not do.
Thank you, Lord.
So when you go through the test and the trial, just believe God. You
yes.
do not have to accept what man says. You do not have to accept what the doctor says.
That's
I'm
right.
a firm believer, and I am a walking, breathing testimony that you do not have to accept what the doctor gives you. And you can tell them that Minister Tuggle said, the next time they bring you something else,
That's
the next
Jesus.
Time they bring you some negative words, tell them find his keepers.
There you go.
Because that don't
Amen.
Belong to you. Because the Bible
Amen.
Says healing belongs to you. Joy belongs
That's right.
to you. Victory belongs to you. Thank you in
yes.
Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Thank you yes. so much, Minister Tuggle. Hallelujah. It just blesses my soul to hear these young people, hallelujah, just come out and testify to the miraculous power of God in their lives. Now, what the other wonderful thing about this network is we're multicultural and we're multigenerational. So now we'll hear from Mother Mitchell.
Praise God. And I've had so many favors bestowed on me by Christ Jesus in my life. I'm 78 years old. But I want to say something to my niece, Tamara. First of all, thank you so much, hon, for your testimony of miracles and wonders, because God is truly an awesome and a good God. And when I found out about your situation, this is what I found, and I prayed it every day for you. It's in John chapter 11, and you can go through from the first verse to the 44th verse. I won't go through quite all of that, but one of the things I prayed, intercede for someone you know who is very ill. Pray for physical and spiritual healing, leaving the outcome in God's hands. Pray that God will be glorified whatever the outcome. Take on Jesus' exquisite sense of timing. He did everything according to God's appointed time. Submit your goals, schedule, and life to God's timetable. One of the reasons I pray so for you, Tamara, one, I love you and you my family, but I also, we pray to invite the kind of miracles that God bestowed on you. Our ministry is one of praying and interceding for others and for their spiritual welfare. Sometimes we ourselves get so low we can't pray for ourselves. And that's the very time I am so thankful that there are people out there praying for me that are holding me up, that are praising God for me, somebody that maybe I did something for and I didn't even realize I did. But one of the miracles that I love most in the Bible is the one of Lazarus. And it says, a whirlwind of emotions reel around in Jesus' heart. Lazarus is dead. People doubt him. Mm-hmm. Mary's heart is broken. And Martha thinks the smell of death will stop a miracle. He turns his face to the Father and speaks out loud, thank you for healing me. And you can read that in chapter 11, verse 41. His words are few, but potent. People are transfixed. Jesus turns family toward the tomb, eyes aflame, and shouts, Lazarus! Come out.
Okay.
In prayer, Jesus dares the undoable, asks
yes.
the unthinkable, enlarges our shrunken vision, and invites the miracle to intersect with
yes,
the humdrum.
Yes.
By example, Jesus models the way to invite miracles into our own lives and circumstances. The prayer of the faithful opens the doors of heaven to the miraculous. I love you,
yes.
my niece Tamara. You hang strong all the time. Pray with your children. Pray with your sons. pray unceasingly. I love you.
Yes.
I love
Amen.
You too. I love you too.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Mother Mitchell. Yes, yes. Miracles are happening every day if we only have eyes to see them and ears to hear.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Because, you know, we're talking about, you know, there's a miracle performed every time someone gives their life to Christ. That is as Christ standing at that tomb saying, rise, get up, take off your grave clothes, come follow me. Hallelujah. It's a miraculous thing when someone gives their life to Christ and truly means it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So tonight, if you don't know Christ, if you don't know the miracle worker, hallelujah, the word of God, Jesus said, hallelujah, that no man comes by to the Father but by me. So if you want to get in touch with the miracle worker, you need to get in touch with his son. And I'm not talking about taking on a religion. I don't care about what the plaque says on the door. I am asking you to enter into a loving relationship with a Father God that loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son for you. Hallelujah. So that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. He came into the world not to judge the world, but by through him the world might be saved. And tonight, my brothers and sisters, if you don't know Jesus, on behalf of Tamara and Minister Tina and Minister Tuggle and Mother Mitchell and myself, we want you to be saved. We want you to be in a position to be made whole, to be healed, hallelujah, to be delivered, restored, transformed. We want you to live your best life. Everybody's running around talking about, I'm living my best life. I'm living my best life. Well, if your best life doesn't include Christ Jesus, you're not living your best life. And I came to tell you that there is not, you don't have to get yourself fixed up or wait until you do this or that. Let me explain something to you. Jesus is waiting to meet you right where you are. It's your time for a miracle. Step into it. All you have to do is go to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. For I believe that you are the Son of the living God, and he raised you from the dead. Hallelujah. Just for me. And then ask him to come into your life and to save you and to use you for his glory. Hallelujah. And if you prayed that prayer in any form, you, hallelujah, and you said, in your name, Jesus, I do pray, amen, you got that one up there. And you are now a member of the family of God. And the angels in heaven are rejoicing because they rejoice when just one soul comes to the Lord. So miracles are happening all over the place. I feel good. My soul is lifted. My spirit is high. Because I know that these testimonies on tonight did exactly what they were supposed to do. They went out and they encouraged God's people. So I truly would like to thank you once again, my beautiful cousin Tamara. And I want to thank you, my awesome little brother, Minister Tuggle. And, of course, Minister Tina, you're my heart. And mama, you're just mama. Hallelujah. We praise you for being. I thank God for you being mama. Hallelujah. And for all of you, for if there's anybody else that's sitting in the studio that wants to add, care to add, you're more than welcome. All you need to do is press your 1, and I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. Hallelujah. And while I'm looking, I just want to thank everybody who stopped by tonight, whether you testified or not. We're just glad that you wanted to come and celebrate with my cousin Tamara and all of us here at the Spirit Alive for Emily, because we do. We know that God is working miracles every day, seen and unseen.
Yeah.
So what we have to do is Speak life. Hallelujah. Speak life. Mm-hmm. Have a mind after Christ. Pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. Live that word, as my little cousin Tamara said. You got to walk that thing out. You just can't be praying and then live any kind of way you want to.
Amen. Yes.
That's right. That's I keep telling people, you do not get heavenly benefit trying to use worldly methods. It does not work.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're expecting a miracle, place yourself in position to receive one by trusting God, obeying God, serving God, loving God, loving God's people. Hallelujah. And watch. Mm-hmm. The miracles, signs, and wonders that will follow.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm Apostle Shaleen Cook, and I would like to thank each and every one of you for coming out and listening to Daughters of Naomi. I know about miracles, and both of our speakers on tonight certainly do. And once again, I'm so blessed that these two young people came forth and brought their stories. And I want to thank you both for your transparency. You know, you didn't say it was easy. You didn't say you didn't have doubt. You didn't say you didn't question God. You were human.
Yeah.
You told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Praise Jesus. They didn't come across like Holy Ghost juniors. They let you know they're human. We're all human. We all have those moments when we're going through. But when we just hold on and keep the faith, we will see miracles.
Mm-hmm.
So on behalf of myself, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Minister Tina Brown, and Minister Adam Tuggle, and, of course, our very special guest, Sister Tamara Criddle, we want to wish you a beautiful and blessed week. We pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at Daughters of Naomi and the Spirit Alive Network. Good night, beautiful family. Be blessed.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Love you.
Love you. Love you all.